Welcome to Wired for Wealth, the podcast for ambitious people with a wild side. If you feel there's way more to your vision for success than just the money, and you want to create a life of financial freedom and fulfillment where joy comes first, then you're in the right place. I'm Abby Rogers, therapist, mentor, and expert on all things mindset, subconscious, and manifestation. And I'm here to help you create anxiety-free, stress-free freedom and wealth that aligns with your soul. Let's dive in. Delighted to introduce the lovely Rosie Bradford this morning for our Money Inspirational Chat. Rosie's going to tell us all about her very exciting story and about how things have changed for her over the last few years. Rosie, would you like to just tell us a little bit about you and what you do now and where it all came from? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, this is Bea, the pug, by the way. She's acting as a hot water bottle in chilly North Yorkshire this morning.
Everybody needs one.
So I am a singer and music coach, and I've done that full time for the past 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And I was one of those people that during lockdown got some furlough, found some interesting stuff to do during that time, and then didn't want to go back to the day job. Yeah. So I'd already made an adjustment to go part-time the year before lockdown. Mm-hmm. And that I found that really powerful to just give me that space. It was a little bit dicey financially, but just like all these things, I just made the decision. And then pretty much the next day, a new income stream came in. Mm-hmm. To make it more viable. So always taking the leap, and then something comes up to catch you. That's really been my experience throughout my business, really. And it's been a lot of putting your big girl pants on and going and going for it. The reason I've been thinking about it for a number of years, but the sort of catalyst, like many people who sort of make big jumps in their life, I had I won't say a near-death experience, but an experience that certainly could have ended with me not being around. I was extremely lucky. I had a car crash on the A1, and I was overtaking a lorry, and I had a blowout on my tyre, and I had no control at all. So the lorry was amazing, and he just did some proper stunt driving to not squash me, and I just spun all the way in front of him, and went straight into the side barrier to stop myself falling off the big hill. And as I was spinning, I just had this lovely sort of state of calm. I listened to a lot of Louise Hay during the sort of trickier times of my life, and there was something she said, and it's just it's a mantra, and if you're in a situation like that, you just say, everything is working out for my highest good. Wow. I am safe. Only good things will come from this. And I was just so clear. And I was sort of thinking that as I was spinning. And this family came and found me, and they were like, "You okay?" I was just like, "Yes." And I made a promise. I made a sort of pact with God. I've done several pacts with God when I'm up mountains and on motorbikes and things like that. And I just said, "I tell you what, if I get out of this, I'm gonna do music, because that's mm-hmm. why I'm here. So if you let me stay, I'll do something that's gonna help people." So I did. Because you can't go messing around with pacts with God.
No. You've got to stick
well,
to
it. Well, I can't anyway.
No.
We're on good terms.
You are a Zen master. Goodness me, that's amazing to be able to just
but it's worked for me. Just the universe, it's my friend.
Yeah, I find that actually often happens, doesn't it, when we're in quite high stress situations. We can still go within, we can still find that calm place and just like trust that everything is going to work out.
Yeah,
faith in that. And often things do work out so much better when we're able to do that rather than doing all the panicking. But
it takes practice. I'm not saying I've always been that way, know, but it was available to me that day, and I've just sort of trusted it ever since.
Yeah, amazing.
And that was the turning point. Then that was like, I'm in on this music thing. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do this with my highest ability and like make it my purpose in life. Yeah.
And it made it a lot easier having made that decision, because I knew I wasn't going back from it. So it helped me sort of take the next step and the next step and the next step.
Yeah. So where were you before that mentally? Were you kind of toying with it but not committing to it fully? Or
I was trying to change my career a little bit. So I've been listening to Stephen Bartlett's Happy Sexy Millionaire on Audible this month, and there's a whole chapter about the complete myth of knowing your why, as he says. He's so funny. He was saying just sort of how toxic that is for young people, because if you don't know your why, or well, what are you supposed to do? In my experience, I mean, I always did music when I was a kid, and it was just understood that I was going to go to university and get a proper job. I sort of didn't go down that sort of study route, but I always enjoyed music, and it's always really been what I'm best at and what I'm happy at. So what happened was, I did my master's degree. I was working in an art gallery at the time, because I'd already made like a big career change. I'd left my corporate job with no job to go to, moved to the country, and got a job in an art museum, a part-time job, and a part-time job in a pub. But the pub happened to have an open mic night, and that started a little chain. And I'd moved to a new town, so I joined a choir and rediscovered singing again and met my singing teacher. So there was all those paths starting. And I got my master's, and I was looking to become like a curator or something like that, something sort of more professional within the museum, because I've been running events, which is no mean feat, but I knew it wasn't my strength. I knew it wasn't what I wanted to be doing, really. I wanted to be a little bit more arty-farty with what I was doing. I applied for a PhD, got down to the last two, didn't get it, and wasn't that bothered after the initial sort of shock. And I was like, that's interesting. And I thought, actually, if anyone's done a master's while working full-time, it's a lot. It's a lot if you're not working full-time, but it's a lot if you are. And I just thought, if I'm going to do that again, I'd like it to be for music. I'd like to sort of throw my energy and my money, my investment into music. Yeah. So I started taking singing lessons instead, and it sort of went from there. But there was a job came up at the museum where I worked, which was a pay cut, but it was more on the path to where I wanted to be. So in order to be able to take that job, if I got it, didn't get it, but if I did, I took on another paid position. There was a part-time job as a piano teacher in our local community centre. I'm just going to let the dog out.
Bye, the dog.
So there's a lady called Lisa Nichols I used to listen to, who was very enthusiastic, and I used to listen to her while I was painting my house. And she used to say, "What is my next right move? What is my next right move?" You don't need to necessarily know where it's going, but what would be the next right move? So anyway, I turned up for this sort of job interview that wasn't a job interview, and they said, "Right, when can you start? Can you run a youth band?" I was just like,
"Why not?"
I've been in youth bands, so and it was a soul band, and I just loved it. And in the end, I took it as a voluntary role, because my day job became more demanding, and I just couldn't be chewed with having two bosses. I can't be chewed with having one now, but it was just sort of, can't be chewed, that's a northeast term, can't be bothered.
I was gonna say, that's couldn't what I'm not heard.
Having two bosses. So I did it voluntary for a year, and I think you learn a lot from voluntary stuff, because you're looking at it from a different angle. And it became the highlight of my week, this voluntary role on a Friday night. It was the end of my week, and I was just getting so much out of it. And then one of the mums said, do you think you could teach our daughter the piano? And she was our band pianist. I was like, well, yeah, I suppose I could. And then phoned a friend and said, "Is it a little girl who'd like teaching it?" And I just carried on doing it. And it appeared I was good at it. And people seemed to like it. and people asked me to sing and they seemed to like that, and I just carried on. And it just went from there. I used to teach for charity money, you know, when you do these sponsored walks. I used to hate going around going, can you sponsor me to walk up Patreon? And I was just, my friend had been bugging me for brass lessons for ages, and I was just like, okay, I'll give you brass lessons, but can you donate to the British Heart Foundation? And it was just sort of all these ways to teach music without giving my permission, without giving myself permission to say I'm teaching music now. It was sort of very much accidentally on purpose, until it was a critical mass. And then all of a sudden there was talk when I went back after lockdown, my hours, it was like, these are your hours, take them or leave them, because it had been much more flexible, and they were just like, no, this is your hours. And I was just like, well, that's going to clash with my piano lessons, and that's not happening. So bye.
And it's so easy to like listen to the fear, isn't it? And say, yeah, but I need the money.
I visualized myself making the phone call saying, I can't teach Emily anymore because I've got to sit in an office with people I don't like. And it was just like, no, I couldn't do it. And also I've been doing some cool stuff. So this community centre where I volunteered, that's where I work three days a week now. That's where my music studio is based. So it grew into sort of the backbone of my my business, really. And it's just such a cool place to be. It's really enriching space to be. that's what happened. I've been doing this work for the NHS. I'm going to have to wipe my nose, Abby. Get the tissues.
Tis the season.
It's cold in Yorkshire. I've been doing this work for NHS workers who'd got long COVID and were trying to go back to work, and I was doing breathing work with them because singing's really good for you in all sorts of ways, as you know. And this is me expanding my ribcage more, by the way. I was helping them do that with singing, and it was so worthwhile. And there's a value in what I used to do for sure, but it wasn't the same sort of my skills really being able to help someone very deeply, that very satisfying work that I'm sure you understand in what you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't go back. I'd say expanded my expectations of what I wanted to do at work and my value, my skills. And once you grow, you can't go back, can you?
No, exactly. And I think like when we love something as well, we can often feel like, I'm so lucky that I get to do this and I'm so passionate about it and I should be doing this thing for free, and almost like it's hard to accept money for this thing because this lights me up so much. It's like it's almost wrong to take the money for it. But
I love money. Money's great. I had to do lots of money work. I find it really helpful for all sorts of things. And it's it's helpful for your customers as well, I find. And I like doing there's free resources on my website and things like that. But I think there's something about, I'm going to treat myself, I'm going to spend some money on this experience, and I'm going to invest in myself. And And who am I to stop people doing that?
Yeah, exactly. Life is not all about the things that we need, is it? It's also about the joy and, a lot of us kind of get to that conclusion that it's mostly about the joy side of things.
It definitely is mostly about the joy.
to provide space for that and for people to actually invest in themselves and not just be going through life, but to be living their best lives and enjoying their own lives is massive, isn't it?
Hence your living journal, which I love. I was talking to you about how much I love it before we got on air. Because Abby's like, well, last time we spoke, it was sort of 3 years ago. And I'm like, I see you every morning in my inbox, Abby. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just there every day, bringing little magical insights and inspirations. We basically chat every morning without chatting. It's great. So I, as you say, I've known you for quite some time now, 2 or 3 years since I really moved online and started doing a lot of therapy and coaching work online. And it's lovely just seeing the confidence now and seeing how you've really like connected with that like, that's my life, that's what I'm going to be doing, and you're just like fully in on it, aren't you? And
so I should add, Abby was really, really helpful with this. So I went to see Abby. Abby was dishing out free breakthrough sessions as part of her business plan. Was it during lockdown?
Yeah.
So there's so many businesses who were so generous during lockdown doing different things. Mm. And I'd been reaching out to people on the NHS to see how I could help them, and reaching out to people at home and just seeing how I could help them out. And Abby did the same, and it really was a breakthrough session for me, because I was in such a box in my mind with my my previous job, and I was thinking, you know, Abby's sat up here on the high level and I'm here on the surface, and she just listened and listened and listened, and I went on and on and on about these very, very small problems, and she made me see, and really pushed me to dream and get really specific. So she was asking me about my income goal and how I would get it, and specifically how that would work and where would things come from, and I just sort of didn't think I had the answers to those questions, but I've got a nickname for Abby, which is the lovely Jedi, and she just lovely Jedi'd it out of me, and then that got it out there, and that's become, you know, where I'm aiming for. So that was really, really helpful. And I do find the journaling work daily really helpful as well.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. It's not meant to be a promo for me.
No, lovely. Thank you. No, oh, it's, thank it, you. It's been instrumental, and it needs saying.
Thank you. And I remember you almost didn't take that session, did you either? You almost...
No, because it was free, and who was I to take it? Because someone else might need it more. And then one of the NHS ladies was just like, is it okay to take your free session? Because there might be someone else who need it more. And I'm like, you're an NHS physiotherapist. And then I had to have a word with myself and went, oh, yeah, you really do need a hand. Because you need a hand. And she's
there's that big mirror shining back at me.
yeah, and you just take the session. Just say yes. Receive.
Receive, absolutely. Yeah. Aren't we so good at putting ourselves down and saying, I don't need this. Somebody else might need it. Well, no, thanks, universe. It's okay. Sit here and be quiet. I don't deserve it. And it is. And we do it to our own detriment, don't we? And often to the detriment of other people as well. But we're like, who are we to judge whether we're worthy of something or not? But we do it all the time, don't we? We have to just almost.
For me, it's a sort of working class background thing as well. Although I'm sure it's I'm sure it's true across whatever background you're from. But it's very much sort of like, oh, is that for the likes of me? It sounds a bit fancy. And even now, and I am a bit fancy now, but it is sort of like, it's just, you know, oh, is that for me?
Yeah, it was, and you took it, and it's happened. Yay! Excellent. Good work. So what would you say has been your biggest inner stumbling block along the way, just kind of dovetailing nicely on from that?
There was lots of little ones, every step, but it probably was the same biggest one, and it probably was around being worthy and what you're comfortable to receive, because I'm finding the steps what Denise Duffield Thomas, she's a lady I'd like to meet as well, and she helped me out during lockdown as well, that receiving money from my business, which it was huge. Even charging sort of anything at all, like you say, was a challenge. But she says, what scares you today won't scare you tomorrow, and those tiny steps were really, really intimidating at first. And I used to procrastinate. I'm not a procrastinator by nature, but just procrastinate all those sorts of things, and like asking for money, doing invoices, then they'd go out wrong, and I'd just make everything really difficult for everybody. And I don't do that anymore. It's much easier for me to be like, right, this is this, that's that. This, you know, this is the price. This is this session, and it's easier and easier. And I think it's around that worthiness and receiving, and it's not just in terms of money as well. It's in terms of other things in my life, in terms of the kind of work I want to be doing, the kind of people I want to be working with, your wealth wheel makes a lot of sense, because you know, my relationship's really key for me, and just being comfortable receiving what you actually want, and being able to answer that question, what do you actually want? That's the hardest thing.
100%, isn't it? So we think we want something, but then do we really want that, and how does it fit in with everything else? It's really massive, isn't it? Good work along the way then. So it sounds as though it was a lot of like unwitting self-sabotage going on, should I say.
Even though I knew it was a thing, it was still happening anyway. And just that the amount of inner work that needed doing, it was daily, still is daily, it's just not, it was a lot more than, it took a lot longer than I expected, it took a lot more work than I expected, but it's a critical mass now, and I can, you know, things are moving faster and faster. It is very, very, very slow at the beginning, and everything absolutely. Seems to be, you know, you're clawing at these really small wins.
Totally. And you've got to like hang on to those small wins, haven't you, and focus on those rather than going, well, I'm not at my final destination yet, and you know, I've not got the big thing that I want,
because
I'm gonna give up. It's like, where are the little nuggets of this is happening?
Because the universe is watching, and when you take those steps, you'll find something comes in from somewhere to say, I saw you do that, well done, here's this.
Here's another opportunity.
And that happens all the time. I was doing one of your things the other day. It was a bit that you'd taken from the expansion session. I haven't done the whole expansion session yet. Because I'm procrastinating setting my goals. I thought I've got to there and I was like, I'll do that later. But what I did do was an extract from it, which is the one looking at yourself in 10 years' time. And I did that on the morning. Then I went to Pilates, overheard someone at Pilates saying they wanted to start singing this year. Went over and went, if you need some free resources, they're on my website. And she came over and talked to me, and she's booked a couple of sessions with me. She actually booked a session that was on my website that I thought had taken off because I thought the price was too high.
Oh, really?
I thought I'd taken it off. But she found it on there, booked it, paid it, quite happy. And I'm quite happy with that price now, because it's a good package. So that was hilarious. I just got this this notification. There's money in your PayPal account. I was like, how? I don't even know. And then I went in the sauna, met a professor from Durham University who has made a connection and you know, potential funding for a choir project that I'm working on. And that was all on the Saturday morning after I did the 10 years thing, and it was as easy as pie. So I believe
goodness me, what's going on here? Oh, it's crazy. It really is crazy. But it's just like, as soon as we start to put that, dot the I's and cross the T's on what we do really want, and we get super clear on that and give our brain a plan, all of a sudden it starts to tune into that plan, and we're like, I can do that thing. Whereas before it was kind of floating around there, but not really on our radar, or it wasn't just coming together in quite the right way.
And then that becomes the norm, and then you go from there.
And so often people get also really concerned that they are not being specific enough about what that 10-year plan might be, in a way, and they're like, in a way, I've got to be shackled to this thing, like, once I've written it down, there's no going back, I've got to really commit to that and see it through, and almost worry themselves into not doing it and not putting those things out there, because they think, like, if I do that, I'm committed, I'm stuck with this thing forever. What if I change my mind? What if life happens? What if it doesn't work out? And those are massive fears as well. But I think we can allow ourselves to be flexible and to just say, I'm just going to dream this. And this is I'm just treating this as a bit of a dream and a bit of a fantasy. This is what I'd really love to see. I'm not going to attach myself too tightly to it. I'm not going to beat myself over the head and say this has got to happen. But this is what I'd really want, and almost kind of let it go. And I've heard other coaches before say just hold it lightly, just have it there, but it's not got to be some massive burden. It's just like,
yeah,
just being truthful with yourself and saying like, if anything could happen, what would it be?
And it really works for me as well. And again, my vision wasn't super specific, but it was me on a beach feeling good. It's really powerful talking a future version of yourself talking to me now. That really works for me because it's you listening to yourself, you know, and it's no one else, and you can't really hide from yourself, and it's just trusting yourself and yourself giving you a helping hand. And I think that's really powerful. Weird but powerful. I like it.
Yeah. Weird but powerful. We love weird but powerful.
Weird but powerful.
It's basically my life. It's kind of how it works. Yeah. And it's very easy to be listening to those doubts and fears and worries and
getting stuck in the how as well, because you'll work the how out, because I'm logical AF and I will build a jigsaw to make a how, no problem, and do the things as long as you can see
where you want to go.
That it's that
end goalpost. And so often it's like, I can't see the exact steps. I don't quite know exactly where I should be headed right now, therefore I can't do that. But you just have to not worry about getting it right as well. And it's fine just to, like you said earlier, jump in and just take those random things that come up and say,
yeah. And as long as it's going towards that path, if you know where you're going, you know, the road will be like that, won't it? But as long as you're going where you want to go, I suppose that, and it's really helpful, because when I first started my business, I just said yes to everything. And then you sort of realize what you like, what you're good at, what's not working. And you sort of hone that a little bit, and the more you know sort of yourself and what works for you, and also being quite strict as well, and is that taking me towards beach me or not, as well. So
I think we've talked in the past as well, both of us have neurodiverse tendencies. We tend to struggle a little bit with kind of,
I have a special brain.
Bringing that jigsaw together, that jigsaw can sometimes kind of move all over the place, and several jigsaws on the go at once. But it does all happen, and it's all there. We've just got
that was really helpful for me as well, and that was something that came about as part of going part time in my day job as well. And it was I moved in with my partner, and I was really knackered all the time, really tired, and I realized I had a sensitivity to noise, because Rich, he's a lovely regular, well, he's not regular at all, but he's you know, he likes football, he drinks beer, he likes to watch the telly, he likes horror films and things like that. I didn't have a TV in my house when I lived on my own, so I had all that silence to recharge, without it I went a bit wonky, and I was driving on a new road as well, and I just had this really new, very loud boss who used to sit behind me, and just all of it was just too much noise, and my brain just went and I was just like, I didn't have the energy to drive home safely. No. Because it was just too much. So I made an appointment. I actually did a bit of research, because my partner is neurodiverse as well, and I just was doing a bit of research to help me sort of live more harmoniously with him, because we are quite different in terms of how our brains are wired, and in the research I was doing to help me support him, I came across some things. It's just like, do you have high functioning autism? Anyway, I did a quiz and I think I got like 33 out of 35, which I was very proud of. I'm just like, I'm so autistic. Already know. So it was just, so I went to the GP and I was just like, this. And he went, oh, this. And I went to the mental health center and they went, Oh, right. Well, I'm not going to diagnose you, but you can get diagnosed if you want, and it'll take 3 or 4 years, and it's a right faff. It's like, no thanks. I'm going to give you this letter to give to work that says basically, pretty
Ticking box.
sure, pretty sure it's this. And that was really helpful because that helped me give myself a break so much more. Because going through life when your brain does work differently, it can be quite upsetting because you just think you just go basically you're just going around pissing people off left, right, and center. For no, and you don't know why. And it's and just
I've done
and just
that
being diff and just being
many
different. People are like,
times.
go and do what everyone else is doing and not wanting to and not knowing why, but feeling bad because you're not fitting in. And it's just all that. It was so helpful having just that guidance. People say not keen on labels and things like that, but it's helpful to me as a framework to help me guide myself through life and also help me sort of skill up and take responsibility for that as well. And yeah, I piss left people off now and I've got more energy. So that's good. I really got a runny nose, I don't know why.
Label.
Yeah, allergic to labels. Sorry.
Yeah, no, labels are definitely, if we're using them in a really positive solution focused kind
Yeah.
of way, I
Yeah,
think
it's really,
we're
really empowering, and
okay. This
I
is
teach a lot of neurodiverse people.
forward. I think where the danger is we can get stuck in them sometimes, and we can sort of say, well, okay,
Yeah.
this, therefore, this is how things have to be, and not kind of trying to push the boundaries and push
Yeah.
ourselves in a different direction.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do have lots of power, and I'm like one of our kids at the moment, sort of going through potential autism diagnosis, and thinking actually, I never had that all those years ago, and it would have been so helpful for me back then just to understand
Yeah.
why.
Yeah.
Like you say, why I felt a certain way, why I
Yeah.
may have struggled socially back then, and it could have prevented a whole load of anxiety that spent
Yeah.
many years
Yeah.
looking through therapy. But you know,
Yeah.
we end up where we end up, don't we? And I would not have my wonderful career now, probably, if that hadn't happened.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And life's I think the world's different now. People are more aware of it. And I love it when I see kids getting the support that they need. And us saying everyone's not the same and that's okay.
Like, he's a budding entrepreneur, he's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and it's just been so empowering to make those adjustments as well. So I've got it in my I have a guide, like a terms and conditions of working with me, and there's a bit in there saying, look, I'm neurodiverse, I might need this. This might happen. This is why. I might need a day off. This is why. And I've
Nice.
never actually needed to do much about it, but just having it there, it's just empowering to make those adjustments and just say that's not going to work for me. And even like having the confidence to keep my hat on at choir last night because the fluorescent lights were doing my head in. And everyone knows it's just, so if I show up in sunglasses, everyone's just like, oh, it's just Rosie. She's a sensitive sausage. And
That
that
works.
will help me have the energy to drive home in a really big way. And it's just giving yourself permission to make those adjustments to make your life easier.
Yeah, not apologizing just because society says this is the way things should be, but
No,
saying
because it's
preparing to
better
be
for
the way.
everyone. Yeah. And everyone knows if I'm going out, I'll be there 2 hours and then I'll tittle off and go and get a jaffa potato or whatever. Everyone knows that's going to happen. No one expects me to stay in a social situation for hours on end.
It's good. Excellent, excellent went. And we have to get better at advocating for that, I think. And that's a huge thing, and
Just
it's
better for
so
everyone. It's better
good
for
to
everyone
see it
because
advancing.
when I don't pay attention to it, it's not good for anyone. And I
No.
think the last time I was speaking with you, I was sort of in a bit of a career kerfuffle because I was in a situation that wasn't a good fit for me, and I was I was trying to do it, but it was too much for me, and that's okay. It just wasn't a good fit for me because we've all got our strengths, and I'm very lucky to have plenty of strengths, and it's much much easier and better for everyone just to get to those.
Yeah, just like make life easy for yourself. Lean into your natural gifts and talents.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean you don't challenge yourself, but it also doesn't mean that you know. It's the love. It's the level of challenge, and I think you touched on this as well a while ago. There was the big narrative was, you know, push yourself, do the things, and you were just like, well, you know, no, don't fake it till you make it, because you'll end up. In a sticky situation and there's an element of it's the right level of challenge that's next that you want to be in
100%.
Because I like being big and bold writing, not brave is a word that people use to describe me, and it's just being kind to yourself and just doing the challenging things, but in a way that you really support yourself and everyone else around you. Wants to come back in.
Yeah. Challenge does not need to be like this hard, horrible, really scary thing. And I think that's the mistake we often make, is like, I've got to push myself, I've got to be in constant nervous system overload, I've got to really work hard at this thing, and we just we can make progress more easily when we're in a place where we're
particularly from a performance background as well. Because you and I have both talked about performance anxiety as singers, and it's sort of there is that sort of just get on stage and get on with it. But it's sort of there's skills that you can build to help make that easier. And also, if it's going to cause you that much stress, don't do it every day. You know, and it and pick the situations that you do it in. I'm very, very discerning now. About what performances I do and what environments they are, and I don't feel I need to go on a stage that's not that I know it's not going to work for me. I've got nothing to prove. Actually, I'll go on this stage because it works for me, and I'm going to stand there because I need my personal space, and I'm going to do that and going to do that, and if that works, great. That is how I feel good performing, and that is how you're going to get your best sound. Otherwise, it's not going to be great for me, it's not going to be great for you. And just, you know, just that mindset as well, particularly from a performance background, because it's just like the show must go on. But do you know what, it doesn't always have to if you work it in the way that you want it to.
You get to be the director too.
yes,
excellent, great stuff. So what's next for Rosie? What's on the agenda? What's on that 10-year plan?
So, passive income sources this year, that needs cracking for the 10-year plan to be a reality, because there's only one of me and there's only so many hours in the day. And sometimes I'm not available. So had a couple of nasty colds at the end of last year, and it's just sort of like sometimes life's going to happen and you can't be in your business. You in front of people, and my voice as well. It's a resource. It's a resource that needs looking after, and just wanting to be able to help more people. My studio is fully subscribed to certain spaces, and you just want to be able to help everyone, and you want to be able to. It's a ways to do more that's safe and profitable as well. So that's this year, getting those streams finalized, sorted, get the book out, and get some sort of online coaching course type thing. Just something, just start some products, because people do these leaps of faith in the middle of the night. I know I do. And you just sort, you know, it's 3 a.m. you wake up and you think, I'm going to bloom and do this thing. And you're like, right, book it. And people are like that with singing as well. So I just want to make it easier for people to just do business with me.
Excellent. Wonderful stuff. Yes. Good.
But the logistics and tech and things in like that for me to crack. It doesn't need to be as complicated as we think it does, I'm sure.
No, we're so good at overcomplicating things, aren't we? So yeah, throwing all those ideas down and then pick the easy one, pick the easy one.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to do some more singing for me, because it's always a balance when you're teaching, because I do love singing and I love exploring my own voice as well. And so Abby and I are going to do our singing diplomas this year. And that's going to be very exciting. So just sort of seeing what I can do, because I don't think I've reached my full potential vocally yet. And it's fascinating for no one other than me.
Yeah.
To just see what I can do and how much fun I can have with my voice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it's all about. It's a wonderful journey of exploration, isn't it? And the exploring never stops. The exploring never stops because things change.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the thing I feel.
It's like
I'm sort of shifting and growing all the time. So long may it continue.
Excellent. Absolutely. Where can we find out more about you, Rosie? Where can people look at your stuff?
I am at happyinharmonymusic.co.uk. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at. Perfect. And there's free resources on there, how to get started with singing in a really easy way. And I send out a DAF newsletter every week. You can come and hang out with us. There's lots of lovely people in our community. And there's no reason for singing to be difficult or scary or anything like that. It's just a fun thing that's good for you, and I'm here to help you get started, whether that's getting in a choir or just doing some stuff for yourself.
Excellent. All about the fun. That's what we love.
Yeah.
More of it please. Right, I shall love you and leave you there, but thank you so much for talking to us today. It's been really interesting finding out a little bit more about your story and how you've got to where you are. So thank you ever so much for that. And
thank you so much for inviting me on, Abby. Thank you. And thanks everyone. Have a really good day.
See you soon.